Oh, I can say what Paul said a few moments ago. It's lovely to see everyone's faces, or most people's faces. Welcome to Grace Fellowship. Especially if you're a visitor amongst us, you're very much welcome. This is God's church, and we want to make sure everyone is welcome here. It's quite a long passage today. We started looking at the Gospel of Mark. I felt compelled in becoming pastor of a church that my first series should be a gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've reached Mark chapter 4. Today I actually plan to speak quite generally on a lengthy passage of scripture, and I felt free to be able to do that because we actually had good teaching on two of the parables here, both the parable of the four soils last September and then the parable of the mustard seed in December last year. So I was blessed in my preparation by listening to messages prepared by our brother Quentin. So do go to our website for in-depth a look at both the parable of the four soils and the parable of the mustard seed. I'm going to speak more generally on a lengthy passage today. But before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help me to teach your word, the Bible, clearly. And please speak to each one of us, to the very depths of our being. And we ask this for the sake of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may have heard this, but apparently there's a story told about President Franklin Roosevelt, who apparently endured lots of polite receiving lines at the White House. But he complained that no one ever really listened to him. So one day during a reception, he actually decided to try an experiment. To each person he passed down the line, he shook their hands and apparently he whispered in their ears, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." To which he had responses, "Marvelous, keep up the good work. We're proud of you, sir. God bless you." Do you know, apparently it wasn't until he reached the end of the line when he was talking to the ambassador from Bolivia that his words were actually heard. And the ambassador from Bolivia, seemingly undeterred, actually leaned across, and this is all true apparently, whispered in his ears, "I'm sure she had it coming." Listening. How well do we listen? I thank God for my wife and my three children. But you know, if there is one thing that lies at the heart of frustration and misunderstanding in our home on occasions, it's when we don't listen to each other. In life, we hear sayings, don't we? God gives us two ears and one mouth, and we should use them in that proportion. Or did you know listen has the same letters in it as silent? Yet it doesn't stop us, does it, from sometimes thinking, "I know exactly what that person's going to say, so I'm going to switch off." Or because we actually think apparently four times faster than the average person speaks, other thoughts come into our minds and we just nod along. Other times what we're being asked to listen to seems to go on and on and on, and we just switch off. Josh, I'm sorry, I don't always listen about Planet of Cubes. Some of us avoid listening to things that we think we're not going to be able to understand. Others of us, we make judgments, don't we, by a person's age, too young, too old, or their appearance, or their delivery, and we think, "I don't think they're going to have anything interesting to say." The truth is, a lot of us aren't great listeners. And even those of us maybe here that would claim to be good listeners, actually we know that we could still listen better. And whilst there are often consequences to not listening to our manager or our work colleagues, to our teachers, our spouses, our parents, indeed when we don't listen to our children, those consequences pale into insignificance compared to not listening to Jesus. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you need to listen to Jesus. For those of us that are Christians here this morning, if we're going to walk closely with our Lord Jesus, we need to listen to him. the Greek verb to hear, to listen, it's used 44 times in the Gospel of Mark, and it is used 13 times here in chapter 4. There's only one other chapter where it's used more times in the whole of the New Testament to hear or to listen, and that's in Matthew chapter 13 and the parable of the four soils. I'll never forget one of my very first lectures in Bible college where we were reminded all as students, don't miss words that are repeated time and time again in a passage. Pay attention to what God is saying. And yet sometimes, I think either because of the rich content of the parable of the four soils or chapter four in general, or because Mark keeps telling us Jesus' priority was to preach the word of God, and yet he doesn't actually include that much preaching until chapter four. And then suddenly we come to chapter four and here is some preaching. I've been amazed at the number of preachers that dive straight in and start to extract lots of truths, but they don't always clearly address, perhaps taking for granted the importance of listening. Listening to Jesus, it's important. Of the 13 times that Mark uses this word to say, hear, listen, it's used three times in the imperative sense, in verse 3, verse 9, and verse 23. So this is also a command of Jesus. Jesus isn't casually asking the crowd, he's not asking everyone here today or listening online, pick and choose what you want to hear. Tune in and tune out. No, verse 3, listen. Verse 9 and verse 23, whoever has ears to hear, then comes the command, let them hear. When we come to church, we are seeking a supernatural experience. We don't come to church to listen to a man entertain us. We don't come here to Grace Fellowship to see or experience a visual spectacle the way perhaps other churches sometimes do, sadly. No, when we come to church, when we open our Bibles at home, incredibly, we're asking the God of the whole universe who has made the world around us to speak to us. And we need to listen. I think all too often, if you're a frequent flyer, and I spent 20 years working in the travel industry, so went on quite a few flights, you see the frequent flyers around you on the plane, don't you? Because they just, they're already asleep when the safety announcement's going on. Or they barely lift an eyelid to pay attention to what's being said. Even though the flight attendant says, listen, this is important. Please follow the video. Please read the card in front. How many of us, time and time again, we come to church and we start to zone out? I'm familiar with this passage. I think I know where the preacher's going to go here. Or actually, this doesn't really interest me. The importance of listening to Jesus is linked back, I think, to chapter 3. Where if you remember last time, we looked at how God was calling, that Jesus was calling together the new people of God. And in many ways, they weren't who you would have expected. The most religious of the day, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, well, they had rejected Jesus. The Herodians were plotting to kill Jesus. Jesus had also distanced himself from his earthly family. But then we came to the end of chapter 3, verses 34 to 35. Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. The new people of God seek to do his will. And they learn what God's will is by spending time with Jesus. We thought about that last time. And then it's so interesting, isn't it? Immediately, Mark goes on to tell us this parable. We spend time with Jesus, but we've got to listen to Jesus. It's not enough to be at church, to read your Bible every day, to have conversations about Christianity, to talk about Jesus, to have various recordings of sermons by great preachers. If we aren't actively listening to what God is telling us, if we're not really listening to Jesus. And again, we see, as we saw last time, I think there are parallels here with how God has interacted with his people down through the ages. Israel's foundational confession in Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Hear, O Israel, a phrase that's repeated several times throughout Deuteronomy. The end of Deuteronomy 27, verse 9, "Be silent, O Israel, and listen." God's people are called to listen to him. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, we're told about this prophet that God would send. And we know that prophet would actually be his son, the Lord Jesus. And Peter refers to this in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, and he quotes that passage from Deuteronomy. "The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you." Why do we listen? Well, we see time and time again, don't we? We need to listen to Jesus because Jesus, with the Holy Spirit being at work, well, he gives us understanding. We learn more about the character of God when we listen to Jesus, his amazing love, his awesome holiness, his patience with us, his wrath, his judgment. We understand more about ourselves, don't we? Our sin. But also God's purpose, his love for us, his will for his people. So when we look at this passage and we take a step back today, what understanding can Jesus give us today? Well, I think if it wasn't already clear last time, it's certainly clear in this passage that there are two groups here listening to Jesus in the crowd. There are those active listeners. Verse 11, we read, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you." Who are the to you? Well, Mark actually tells us in the verse before, verse 10, when Jesus was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. Many of those were likely the same group that were around Jesus at the end of chapter 3, seated around him in verse 34. So that's one group, those on the inside, and they know something of the secret of the kingdom of God because they know the Lord Jesus. But then there are those on the outside, back to verse 11. "But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Group two, those on the outside, to whom we read that understanding actually Jesus' actions and his words, well, it's become seemingly harder. I think they're difficult words to grapple with. The quote that Jesus shares in verse 12 from Isaiah, is Jesus deliberately now making it difficult for people to hear him, excluding people? Well, I think to understand these words, it's helpful to go back to their context and to think about Isaiah. You see, Isaiah was instructed by God to preach God's word in spite of the fact that God had already warned him in advance that as he preaches, well, that they may listen, but they're not interested at all, his people, in hearing what God has to say. Because what we read in Isaiah is that the people have hardened hearts. And they've got no intention to say sorry to God, to seek God for forgiveness. In fact, what we read through Scripture in the Old Testament is that they wouldn't accept God's message until it was too late, until Jerusalem lied in ruins. So I think by Jesus quoting these words from Isaiah, he seems to be reminding people right then, do you remember those people in the past that refused to listen? Those people that refused to come to me and ask me for forgiveness, to repent. And when we take that thought, that actually God's impending judgment would come on his people, and then we take that thought and take it with us back into Mark chapter 4, it seems to tie in, doesn't it? Because right from chapter 1, the message that Jesus brings about the kingdom of God is loud and clear. This is good news. It's about repenting and believing. It's about having a right relationship with God, and we can be forgiven. It's good news that is supported by the most amazing miracles. And yet Jesus and his message was rejected. Now last time we saw how the teachers of the law had declared, actually Jesus, well, he's got some power, but it comes from Satan. And to which last time Jesus gave the strongest of warnings, of rebuke, that there is one unforgivable sin to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts men and women of our sin, of our need of a Savior. It's the Holy Spirit that actually prompts us to listen to Jesus. But when people determine time and time again to continually ignore, to reject Jesus, then there is a warning, isn't there? You cannot be forgiven, not if you refuse the one who offers forgiveness. The tragic reality of those in the second group, those on the outside, those who are passive listeners, is that they didn't see any need at all to be forgiven. And so Jesus begins to speak in parables. And I believe we start to see here God's judgment on men and women who continue to reject God's news. The clear message has been proclaimed. They refuse to listen. And yet what we see is that God is patient. We see this throughout Scripture. We see Jesus is patient. And notice, Jesus still isn't exclusive. The gospel is open to everyone to receive. There's a huge crowd here. It's the second time, I think, in Mark's gospel. He had the joy of preaching outside. It had been a bit cooler, I think, than me struggling a bit here inside. But it's the second time Jesus got into a boat. There's such a big crowd. And within this crowd, and if you know Preacher's Cove, I think they call it, you can look it up on Wikipedia even. And there's this place on the Sea of Galilee where it's likely Jesus may well have spoken, and the acoustics were so good, several thousand could hear what someone was saying on the shoreside. And within this crowd, there were likely teachers of the law, Pharisees, Herodians. Everyone that day was invited to listen. Just as the farmer sows the seed on all four soils, so Jesus preaches the word of God to everyone. There's no prejudice. But there is a challenge. And the challenge is this: are you listening? Are you really hearing what I'm saying? For some of us, I think because we have Jesus' explanation of the parable in verses 13 to 20, it can seem like quite a simple parable. But if you place yourself in the crowd 2,000 years ago, and you just look at those first nine verses, what would you have come away with? I dare say if you were a farmer, you'd have come away with, I need to take a little bit more care with how I sow my seed. If you're a politician, you may have thought, well, Jesus is telling me that there's a farm education program that I need to introduce. That's going to help me get re-elected. Journalists may have said, well, Jesus is telling me about the bird problem here. I'm going to write about that in my article tomorrow. If you're a salesman, you likely thought, well, Jesus is encouraging me in my fertilizer sales here. I can help the farmer have more good soil. Many, likely hundreds, maybe even several thousand, went away, perhaps feeling well entertained for the day, but maybe also left pondering, well, what does this parable mean? What's Jesus really saying? And yet you notice the disciples and others in verse 10, they ask Jesus about the parable. We have a personal responsibility to respond to God's word, to not reject the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us actually very clearly, I think, throughout Scripture that God's actually already chosen his people. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Jesus says in John chapter 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." God is sovereign. He knows who here today at Grace Fellowship and who listens to this service, who will be in heaven. And yet here in Scripture surely is evidence of us to take some personal responsibility. Those on the inside in that first group, they come up and they ask questions about the parable with Jesus. And teachers love questions, don't they? I know we have some teachers here in our church. When a question is asked, it shows that a student was listening, doesn't it? Even if in part, you may think, well, actually, you didn't need to ask that if you'd listened all the way, but it shows they were at least listening. And the best thing about a question is that it enables the teacher, doesn't it, to ensure understanding. And Jesus wants to give us all understanding. If you've got your Bibles open, look at verse 24. Consider carefully what you hear. He continued, "With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." Remember, two groups. There aren't four different groups in this first parable. There are two. Those on the inside. Look at verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word and accept it. They may ask questions along the way, but they produce a crop. The more they listen, the more they grow in the Lord Jesus. The more they receive, the more they bear fruit. Then there are those on the outside, perhaps like the Pharisees, the Herodians, listening to Jesus purely just to try and catch him out. Examples surely of seeds on the path. They heard the word of God, but Satan snatched it straight away. Or those in the crowd who listen a little, but they never fully accept all of Jesus' teaching. And the moment Jesus becomes a little less popular, the moment it becomes a little bit hard to stomach what Jesus is saying, they fall away. They've made no efforts to grow deep roots. Or others still that started to follow Jesus, but do you know what? When the temptations of life come, when the worries of life come, whether or not that be work, money, relationships, well, actually, sorry, Jesus, they're a little bit more important. For those on the outside, there's a huge warning here. Even what you've heard will be taken away. For a few years, I believed I became a Christian because I read a passage in the Bible, because I went to visit my grandfather, because he prompted me to, why wasn't I taking Jesus at his word? Because I had prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior, to forgive me. But I look back now, and all I see is God's grace. And God's hand at work. It was His Holy Spirit that had directed me to a passage in His Word that had worried me about where I was going eternally. It was the Holy Spirit that had prompted me to go and talk to my grandfather about it. It was the Holy Spirit that had prompted my grandfather to challenge me, well, Malcolm, why aren't you taking Jesus at His Word and His promises? But at the time, it just seemed more about personal responsibility. This isn't easy to understand. But what I'm trying to help us all see is that there is this personal responsibility to respond to what Jesus is saying. And actually, even if we don't see it at the time, we'll look back on it and see, actually, this was all part of God's sovereign will. Maybe someone today needs to take some personal responsibility. Perhaps for the very first time, to really listen to the Lord Jesus. To ask questions. To hear more about the message of the kingdom of God, to allow the seed of the word of God to take root. Please do come and talk to me or contact us via the website on Facebook. We'd love to talk to you. Love to share more. For those of us that have accepted God's word, I have to ask this morning, are we growing? Are we going to be able to stand firm when the trials come? When we are faced with the worries of life? Are our roots growing? Are they going deeper into the knowledge of Christ? Are we listening to all of God's word? Are we accepting of the whole gospel message? Or do we come and do we pick and choose? Oh, well, that part, that's politically correct. I can stomach that in the UK today. So I can follow that bit of Jesus' teaching, but I can't accept that part of the Bible. That's a bit hard. I might face troubles if I share God's love for his people in that part of his teaching, of the best way to live. Are we producing fruit in our lives? How can we encourage one another today just to listen a little bit more to Jesus this week? What personal responsibility are we going to take to do that? Do you know, if we make some decisions today, when we look back on the 25th of July, we're not going to think, well, that was the day I decided not to miss a quiet time anymore. Or that was the day I decided and I warned Jay this was coming. Where is Jay? I'm missing him. He's out. Jay, I miss you all the way down there, brother. You used to be down here. This is the bit I warned you about, Jay. It may be that we look back on the 25th of July and we think, I need to go to bed a bit earlier on a Saturday evening so I can listen clearer on a Sunday morning. That doesn't just apply to Jay. I know that's Josh as well. And it applies to me, so we're all in this. But we're not going to look back and think that, are we? We're going to say, no, actually, it was on the 25th of July 2021 when God spoke to me through his word, when he told me afresh through this well-known parable to listen. When I heard him say to me, consider carefully what I hear, because we can hear lots of rubbish, but not when we listen to Jesus. Consider carefully what you hear. When he reminded me of the personal responsibility he has given me to listen. Well, to close, some encouragement for us to share the word of God, to sow the seed, because I think we see across chapter 4 that when people hear the word of God, there is a harvest. There is a harvest. Why is preaching a priority of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why was it last time when we looked at the disciples that Jesus said, preach? Number one, because it is the word of God that changes lives. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Sadly, down through the years, I've heard a number of messages on the parable of the four soils, where the preacher can focus so much on the first three soils and rejection. It's almost as if he's trying to give his congregation thicker skins. You're going to face rejection. And the application seems to be that Christians, well, we need to remember we're not called to be successful, we're called to be faithful. And there is real truth in that. I want to be careful in my critique, but I really don't think that's the emphasis of Jesus in the parable of the four soils. The emphasis, the closing point, is on the 25% that accept the word of God. What an amazing harvest. I was reading about this, obviously, in preparing. 2,000 years ago, the best a Palestinian farmer could have hoped for was a tenfold increase in his harvest. Well, Jesus doesn't talk about a tenfold increase, does he? Apparently, even with the scientific know-how and the artificial stimulants we have today, the best a U.S. farmer can achieve, I couldn't find a British farmer, it's probably lower, but the best a U.S. farmer can achieve is 20 to 30 times increase in his harvest. So do you see the point that Jesus is making here? He's trying to make it so clear. When someone accepts the word of God, it's incredible. 30, 60, 100-fold. God's word produces a harvest despite rejection. And there's more. We go on to the next parable of the growing seed, verse 26 to 29, where I think we see God's word produces a harvest despite delay. Here the man in the parable, well, he's sown the word of God. And then life goes on. I think that's what the impact of having that night and day. It's almost, it needs to be repeated. Night and day, night and day. He waits. There's a delay. And then he doesn't know how, because it's God's work, it's not our work. But suddenly the seed sprouts. Verse 28, all by itself the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Next weekend, God willing, we hope to share the word of God to sow some seeds in the community around us with our Bible Olympic trail. Maybe we'll have conversations and opportunity to sow the seed. Maybe it'll be from the posters, which will have scripture included on them, that someone will be challenged by God to listen, to hear the word of God. Maybe be on the gospel tracts that are handed out. Praise God if some people come to know the Lord next weekend. But it may be that after a few weeks we look back and think, well, there was absolutely no harvest. No one seemed to listen. But God may use next weekend for the very first step for someone's journey to faith. There may just be a delay. Sometimes it's years. Sometimes we'll never know the results of our witnessing, of our sowing to friends, to family, to neighbors, to work colleagues. But surely in this short parable we see the truth of God's word that it won't return empty. Isaiah 55:11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The growing seed tells us there will be a harvest despite delay. And then verses 30 to 32, the parable of the mustard seed. And I think here is a promise of an incredible harvest, despite what appears to be an unimpressive start. Jesus' illustration here, isn't it? It's the smallest seed to the biggest plant. And don't we already see, if God has opened our eyes to the truth, how that's already come true? We only see a snippet of it now. We'll see the whole kingdom of God in his glory when he returns. But if you consider just those 12 men that Jesus chose, if you consider those first few hundred believers, and then you look at the church through its history, we praise God, don't we? What an incredible harvest, despite such small, insignificant, seemingly beginnings. How has that happened? Has that been through lively worship? Has that been through having really a far more trendy preacher than I am? Has that been through, let's try and really fit in with the culture of the day? No. The reason the church has grown is because the Holy Spirit's been at work and the Word of God has been faithfully taught year after year after year. The good news about Jesus, that he died for our sins, that he rose victorious over death, that one day he is coming back and we can share eternal life with him if we've put our faith and trust in him. It's the only way. And those through the Holy Spirit that have heard, that have really listened to what Jesus is saying, are part of the kingdom of God. Now let me say this as well, because there is much false teaching about this, particularly from the Jehovah's Witnesses. There is unlimited space in God's kingdom. We see that, don't we, here in verse 32. Space for every believer with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade comfortably. Well, what's our brief summary of today? Let me say this. Faithful Christians, faithful churches teach and proclaim the word of God because of its importance. Jesus commands us to listen to him, just as God has done down through the ages. And listening to Jesus, well, it gives us understanding. There will be insiders and outsiders, those who accept and those who reject. But let us be encouraged. If we are faithful sowers, God's word won't return empty, despite rejection, despite delay, despite what may seem an unimpressive start, there will be an incredible harvest. Amen.